thank you for your word this morning, God, that in your presence is busy shaping us, Lord. And I pray that we'd be open to what you want to say to us this morning, Lord. We choose right now to be open to your the move of your Spirit, Lord. I thank you that you shift us, Lord, this morning. You shift us from a place of being comfortable, Lord, to a place of living by faith, God. You, Lord, that you speak to each one of us this morning clearly, because you love us so much, God. I thank you that your love is so tangible this morning, that your love is here, Lord. Your love changes us, God. We thank you that you love us too much, Lord, to let go of us. Thank you that you're tugging at our hearts, Lord. You're tugging at our hearts, but you give us that amazing choice this morning to say, yeah, we are, Lord. We open ourselves to you. I just sense we must thank the Lord this morning, all of us in our hearts, for just that He's so faithful to continue to tug at our hearts. He continues just to pursue us more than we pursue Him, and we must just thank Him for that. Because if He lets us go, we are at a place of death. We are at a place of hell. But God is tugging at our hearts. Jesus is tugging at our hearts. And He will never let us go. And I want to say that to someone this morning. There's two people here. You need to know that God is never going to let you go. Receive that He's more faithful to do that in your life than you are to try and pursue Him and to keep pursuing Him. He is going to pursue you until you say yes. And we thank you this morning that you pursue us, Lord, by your word. You pursue us by the body of believers. You pursue us through your Spirit, God. Doesn't matter how isolated we become, Lord, you pursue us and you draw us to yourself. And we thank you this morning that you've drawn us into this house this morning. You've drawn each one of us to that place where you come to speak to us. And we open our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, for a deposit this morning in each heart, Lord. And Lord, I know that you water and you bring to fruition. You bring to fulfillment that seed which you sow this morning. I thank you, Lord. You deserve all the glory for each of our lives. Nothing we accomplish is our own strength, God. It's all because of your grace. And Lord, we give you the glory this morning for what you're busy doing. Continue with worship afterwards. God is not finished with us yet, so we can leave the lights off. You can take your seats just for a while, and Mariska will just show a video clip quickly. Band, I'm going to call you up again so you guys can take a rest for a while, but I believe the Lord wants us to just experience just what He has for us this morning. He's breaking boxes, amen? Amen? He's breaking our culture, our program, and He's getting us onto His page. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Are you guys awake out there? Is everyone warm after the coffee and the Holy Spirit's move and the seats are warm? We installed warmers in there. Do you feel it? Okay. Thanks, Mariska.
Says He places a new spirit within you. He gives you a new spirit that causes you to walk in His ways and His statutes.
When God places the Holy Spirit within you,
He writes His laws upon this new heart, and He changes the desires of your heart. Person that you need to become friends with is the Holy Spirit. The person that you need to fall in love with is the Holy Spirit. The secret to knowing Jesus personally is the Holy Spirit. The secret to signs, wonders, and miracles, to the power of God, is the person of the Holy Spirit. The secret of knowing what God made you for, created you for, what your purpose, your mission is here on earth, is getting to know the person of the Holy Spirit. And then I will come in person. And we are experiencing tonight Jesus coming in His presence. Jesus coming like the rain. He's coming by His Spirit with His presence. But very soon He's going to come in person. The youth of Canada belong to Jesus.
Is that radical or what? Okay, I really believe that it's time for revival. Amen. I really believe that it's time for revival. And guess where revival starts? Where does revival start? Anyone know? Doesn't start in a meeting like that. Doesn't start with big crusades. Doesn't start with an emotional experience. Revival starts in the heart. Amen. Revival starts. Did you guys see the desire on those young people's hearts for Jesus? Okay, and I know some people got a problem with these, you know, falling over and being slain in the spirit. And that's not what I was supposed to illustrate there or what I wanted to illustrate. I want to illustrate a hunger for God. And when you have a hunger for God, then whatever happens, happens. The Holy Spirit is in control, okay? But when you have a hunger for God, when you see those hearts on fire for Jesus, then you realize then God can really move. God can move when we have faith, when we desire to please Him, we desire to come to Him by faith. And so I really believe, and I'm carrying on with a series of mine on the culture of our church, because I want to say tonight it's time for the revival. It's time for the fire of God again, okay? It's time for the joy of God again. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Because, you know, we get oppressed and depressed and we get so down and, you know, we just play church and play church and play church. And God wants to shift our programs. It's a warning. I really sense this thing, and I'm doing it out of love for us, because I'd rather have us close down and say, God, let's do something else than just continue with stuff that's not from God. That's a dead work. And I really believe God is stirring in my heart a time for chains to be broken, a time for the power of God to manifest in our church, a time for revival. And revival is when each one embraces it. And, you know, the definition of an apostle, and I said this 2 weeks ago, is someone who is a delegate. It's specifically an ambassador of the gospel. It's officially a commissioner of Christ with miraculous powers. It's a messenger. It's He that He sent. And I want to ask us this morning, are we representing Christ in Bloemfontein? Are we representing Christ in our workplaces and in our classrooms? Are we representatives? Are we gospel ambassadors, gospel-carrying ambassadors? That's what an apostle is. Who wants to be an apostle here? It's not about a title. It's not about an apostle or an apostle or a prophet or whatever. It's about being a representative for Christ. That's what it is. But many times we say, no, there's the apostle out there. I'll just follow the apostle. God wants you to be the apostle in your workplace. He wants you as a person to embrace the culture. And I believe that if we all do this, then we're going to have meetings like that where there's people running to church, people running to meetings, people wanting to come to pray 24 hours, people wanting to say, God, it's all about you. Instead of us having to do a program. And last time I spoke about what was the culture of the early church. First of all, it's a culture of prayer, and you can include praise and worship in that. You can include a culture where we're seeking God with everything in us. It doesn't matter what we do. Praying is just a way to connect with God. Praise and worship is a way to connect with God. But it's all about a culture of where Jesus is number one, and we're relating to Him as our first love. Secondly, I talked about a culture of community, and last week we spoke about the whole thing of covenant relationships, where we share with one another, we give to one another. We're not about ourselves, we're about the community. And this morning I want to just finish off with the last two, because I really believe God wants us to be an apostolic church. Amen. Not because we shofar or there's an A team that's the apostolic team. It's God wants us to be like the Church of Acts. And I'm reading the greatest book. Has anyone read the greatest book on earth? Is anyone reading the story of Acts, the book of Acts? It's the greatest story of the church. How the church started. And I see in this book, I see stories, and I'm going to tell one of them now. I'm busy doing my studies on this, and it's just awesome. It's like stirring in me like, God, why aren't we like this church? What have we lost? And God wants to restore it in this place called Bloemfontein, where it's dry, where things stay the same. Amen. Every winter it's dry. Every summer, there's, you know, the seasons are the same. And guess what? The place just stays the same. And there's like this heaviness over this place, which God wants to break out. And when we come here, we can just fall into this culture of religion, this culture of, let's just be in control here. Let man be in control, and let God be out there somewhere. God wants to be in control of the city. God wants to be in control of our lives. And so it's a culture that we need to embrace. And if we all do it, God will do it. It's not about us doing it. But if we all say yes to this culture, God will do it in our lives. And the third one is a culture of witnessing. Because Acts 1 verse 8 says clearly, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Say to someone next to you, power. Power. Do we see power in the church? I don't think we do. I think we see it to a degree, but I don't see power. But I see how the Lord promised His disciples, and He promises us the same thing. If we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power. What? Power not to have a great life, not power to navigate your way through life, power to do what? To be witnesses in who? I mean, in where? Jerusalem, first of all, that's your close people around you. To be witnesses in Judea and Samaria, that's just stepping out a little bit, your neighbors and maybe the town next door, and then in all the ends of the earth, wherever you go. And it's just amazing when you travel, and the Lord just didn't leave me. When I go on holiday, then it's like you can take a break and you can chill, and there's no church, and you know, you don't have to prepare a sermon. But the Lord doesn't leave me, because there's always people to witness to. The first day we were on holiday, or the second day we were on the beach, and I told you guys about the little girl that Matthew started to swim in the sea with and everything. And then I saw her father coming, and then the Lord's like, you know, your son is going to open doors for you. And so then I see the father there, and I know this is an appointment with God. And so I go over to him and, you know, ask him his name, and we start chatting, and we start talking about Jesus. Well, I started to talk about Jesus, put it that way. He was talking about all the problems he had on the mines, and he's working for the Anglo guys in Rustenburg, and all the challenges there. And I could understand that it's full of fear. He doesn't know if he's going to have his job or not. But then I started to talk about the answer to the solution of this country, and that's Jesus Christ. So I could tell him, listen, yeah, you don't have to fear, because Jesus has got the answer. And so the next, or a couple of days later, we're on the beach there again, and then there's these people, this guy who's doing these nice art stuff there, and people are paying him to write their name on the beautiful art that he did on with the sea and the sand. And then I go to him and I start to talk to him, because God doesn't let me go. I can't just have a holiday, because guess what? I'm not just a chilled person. I'm an apostle. I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. And so God doesn't let me go. When I have opportunities, then, you know, you've got to be obedient. Or you can say, okay, sorry, God, I'll do it when I'm back in Bloemfontein. But sometimes it's easier for me to witness when I'm out of Bloemfontein. It's easier to witness when I'm going, when I'm saying, God, wherever I go, let me be a witness. But there's power upon us when we have the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, it says the following. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. In other words, they were a church that was focused on prayer. They were focused on one another, on community. They had fellowship. And then it says, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I see here a culture of witnessing. I see that there's not only witnessing when you talk to people, but there's a witness of the power of God that manifests wherever you go. Now, not all of us have been called to be evangelists. Not all of us have been called to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. But I believe that signs and wonders in some degree must follow each of us if we say yes to the apostolic calling. To yes to be an ambassador for Christ. People will be drawn to Christ and not drawn to you. But guess what we do? When we start to be filled with the power, it's so cool because, yeah, the power's mine. So let's see if people can follow me. And Christ says he wants a culture of witnessing. He wants a culture of power and of signs and wonders. And I'm not saying we must run after signs and wonders. That's the last thing we must do. But I see signs and wonders as the evidence, like Tim said, of us running after Christ. I see it as an evidence. I see it as, are we running after Christ or not? Or do we just have a form of godliness, but we deny the power of God? God wants us to be a culture and have a culture where we say, Christ, you're number one. And we are going to be witnesses for you. Why? Because we've received your power. And it's not a once-off filling. It's not like I've been baptized in the Spirit, so now it's a continuous filling. I see people got filled continuously in the book of Acts. It's not just the Pentecost came and there they were. They got filled when they prayed. They got filled with boldness. They got filled with the power of God. And in 4 verse 33, again, it says, with great power. And this is after they'd prayed. This is after they were in one accord. It says they were sharing everything. They had this culture. It says with great power the apostles gave witness to what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this morning, and in my life I'm being challenged, have I got a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in my life? Or do I have a witness of all the challenges in my life, all the issues I'm struggling with? Oh, it's just this thing after that thing after that thing. But there's not a resurrection power in my life. There's not a testimony where God has been glorified because I've overcome. But so many times we get focused on what's not instead of the resurrection, the seed that's in us, Jesus Christ. Because then we won't have issues. Then we won't focus on all the petty things, but we'll focus on the power of God. And then listen to what happened to the church. When this great power happened and there was witness, it says great grace was upon them all. And I think it's a cycle. I think the more we witness, the more we have this culture in us, it's a cycle of grace. Grace, grace, grace gets added to us. More people come in and they're witnessing and then they get saved and there's more grace. And they bring people in and there's more grace. And so the church grows. And once again, it's not about growth, but it's about is God with us? Because where God is, lives will change. Where God is, signs and wonders will follow. In chapter 5, verse 12 again. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And what was the result? There it is. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. And I know sometimes we're so worried about these massive meetings and, you know, like, are they being discipled or what? But that's what God wants to remind us of, is we are disciple-making church. And so if he adds to us, then are we ready to disciple the masses? Or are we just ready to disciple them according to our ways and our programs? And I just know in Shofar, we are never going to disciple people like we're doing now. We're not going to disciple the masses because we're bound by our programs. We're bound by natural stuff. And I'm the first to say, let's create a program. I'm the first to say, let's do the foundations and that's going to disciple people. And we've realized that it doesn't work because people go through the tick boxes and we've done the foundations and so now we're supposed to be discipled. And we're not. Many people just walk away from what God has for them. And so, are we ready to have believers increasingly added? But I see there was a church who had a culture. I see there was a culture that was in this church. And you know, 2 weeks ago when I was in Durban, or 3 weeks ago when we were on holiday, I preached in the church there, and it was just amazing. They had a totally different meeting. Now, Clint and Leanne are leaving. They're going down to, or they've left already. They're in Cape Town. And so it was their last service, and they had it at their house because it was a long weekend, and so not many people were there. But we had fellowship, first of all, just like we've done this morning. And then the one guy brought his guitar and started to sing, and we were just about 10 to 15 people in their lounge there. And the Spirit just started to move, and there was a worship of God. There was a culture where people really started to desire God, and there were words of prophecy flowing. And then I just felt the Holy Spirit. And before that morning, I said, God, I don't know how this service is going to work. I've got something to share, but if I don't have to share it, that's fine. I'm ready. But whatever you want to do, Lord, then do it. And so we got together and we were worshiping. And then suddenly I felt this pain in my left leg. Yeah. And I just thought, this can't be, because, you know, I haven't run for a while. And I mean, I'm on holiday. I'm relaxed. So this can't be an injury or something. But this is a pain that's frustrating. And so the Lord started to tell me, you know what? There's someone with a left leg problem, or problem in her left lower leg, or somewhere in her leg. And so the Spirit just continued to move, and people were prophesying, and it was awesome. And then the time came, and the Lord just said, ask someone now, is there someone here that's got a problem? And so a lady raised her hand, and we all agreed, and we prayed with her, and she felt a release. She felt something shifted, and she really felt healed. And then the Spirit just continued to move, and I said, listen, yeah, God wants to heal people here physically. And then people said, listen, my back's sore. Another guy has got stomach ulcers or something from stress, and someone else had some other problem. We prayed for heads, and I don't know what, but God just moved in an incredible way. And everyone had faith. Everyone was like in this, you know. We're all praying together. It's not just Alistair praying, but we're all praying, and we're all celebrating the breakthrough that God gave people. But it was just amazing to see how God wants to move through physical manifestations. He wants to move through changed lives. He wants to move through testimonies where we say, God, it's not about going on a mission. You know, because you talk to these guys out on the field, talk to Jacobus about his mission to Malawi, where the rain was, it wasn't rain, it was this like white stuff. He says he's never experienced it before, like raining just on the team, even under a roof, the stuff's falling like manna almost. I don't know. We haven't talked long about it, but he said he doesn't understand it. But I just said, God was with you. That's the confirmation. But healings took place. People who were deaf could hear, and who couldn't speak could speak. Blind people could see. Now you hear these testimonies of healings in Africa, and you hear these testimonies of healings all over, but God wants to do it in our midst. God wants to do it in us. But we are a people of fear. We fear the supernatural. We fear the unknown, because we can't work it out. God doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to have this culture where there's power that goes with us. And the one story I want just to go through quickly is the story of Peter. The story of Cornelius and Peter in Acts chapter 10. It's just an amazing story of how God is so faithful. Now, Cornelius was a devout man. He was a man who was seeking God. He was a man who feared God, and he prayed, gave alms, did a lot of things that pleased God. And so the angel of the Lord spoke to him, and he just realized this is God speaking, and he's got to obey, and he's got to send for these people that God is talking about. He's got to send people to go to the house of Peter where Peter is staying, and he's got to call for him. And then the story moves to Peter while these guys are going to the next city called Joppa where Peter was. Then it says Peter was up on this rooftop praying. Now it was at noon. It was in the middle of the day. Peter was desiring God so much that he probably prayed three times, morning, noon, and night. So he was on the rooftop praying. It's interesting that he was in a place of prayer. And the other thing about Peter is that Peter was on a mission. He was on a mission to the Jews. He didn't have a sark with the other guys. He just wanted to see Jews come to Christ. And so he was on this mission all over. And we saw a person called Aeneas healed. We saw a person called Dorcas healed. We saw signs and wonders following Peter as he was on this mission. And yeah, he finds himself in the middle of the day praying, and suddenly a vision comes to him. Suddenly there's this weird vision, and now he's hungry. And while the people are preparing his lunch, he's hungry. And so he sees this vision of all this food coming down. And it's like unclean food. It's not food that the Jews should eat. And so Peter is like, what's this? And God says, or a voice from God says, Peter, rise up and eat. There's your meal. And he's like, not so, Lord. I can't eat this stuff. This is going to like defile me. And so he's so resistant. He's now passionate for God. He's excited to see people healed and saved and whatever. But now God's starting to speak to him, and he's a bit resistant. And then the Holy Spirit says, the voice again says to him, listen, yeah, what God has cleansed, don't you call dirty. And so he realizes he's got to change his thinking here. There's a paradigm shift that he needs to make in his mind. And he realizes the Spirit is speaking to him. And so even while he was wondering about all of this, the people were there that God had sent. The Holy Spirit was so faithful to send these people at the right time, send the vision at the right time. And Peter realized, I've got to go and minister to these people. And so he invited them in. They stayed over, and then all of them, and he took some people with him. It wasn't the Lone Ranger. He took some of the church with him to go minister to these people. In fact, he didn't know what he was going to do. But he just knew God was in this. God was busy by his Spirit orchestrating an incredible mission that would just come to fulfillment. And so Peter goes on, and they get to the house of Cornelius. And it's interesting. This is the same Peter that was afraid to step onto the water. This was the same Peter that had fear of the unknown, fear of stepping out. He didn't have fear of stepping out, but he had failed when he stepped on the water. He had failed when he had the boldness, and then suddenly now he didn't want to just step out anymore. But God had to say to him, Peter, you must go. But it's amazing, the Peter that would just speak without thinking didn't do that this time. He was obviously filled with the power of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. So he goes into the house and he says, listen here, I'm coming to you guys, but tell me, why have you sent for me? He didn't just presume and bash himself in there and say, listen here, repent and be saved. Even though that's his personality, that's what he was normally like. But yet he said to them, and I read the story, and he says, listen here, you first tell me, Cornelius, and I see there's so many people with you. Why must I be here? And Cornelius tells him the whole story of how the Spirit has orchestrated this vision, and he has seen this vision that Peter must come and speak to him. And it's just so amazing. Cornelius tells his story, and he says at the end, I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. And there's an open heaven for Peter there. He can just preach the gospel, but he hasn't forced himself onto people. He's asked the question, are you ready to hear? Why do you want to hear me? I'm not just going to preach to you, but why? And there's an open door for Peter, and it's incredible. He preaches about Jesus Christ. Preaches about the judge of the living and the dead. Now, these people are God-fearers. They give to the poor, they pray, they fear God. But yeah, Peter preaches the full gospel. And he says how Jesus Christ in verse 38 of chapter 10, he says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That was like his key verse there. And then he goes on to say, he commanded us to preach this Jesus, who is the judge of the living and of the dead. And even while he was preaching, what happened? The Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. The first conversion of Gentiles to the gospel was Cornelius and his household. The Holy Spirit falls upon the Gentiles. Even while Peter doesn't even make an altar call, he doesn't say, who wants to be filled with the Spirit? The Spirit just falls on the Gentiles. And it shakes the whole paradigm. Because now suddenly Peter's realized, listen here, this vision is so true. This vision had to come to pass. Because God loves the Gentiles too. God is pouring the same gifts out, not only on the Jews, but also on the Gentiles. And it shakes Peter's world, and it even shakes their world as Gentiles, because they maybe didn't expect this, but suddenly the Spirit just comes. And it says, Peter says, but listen here, can anyone forbid water? These people should be baptized because they have received the Spirit just as we have. There's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. There's no distinction between God's love for people. And it's amazing. They all respond and they actually get saved in a proper way. But you see, Peter was on a mission. Peter was obedient. Peter had a passion for God. He had a desire to seek first the kingdom of God, but he was active in it. He practiced it. That God could actually use him and trust him to bless the Gentiles with the gift of the Spirit and with preaching the word. But he had his desire to seek first the kingdom, to practice. And, you know, I've been watching a lot of tennis this week, okay? I don't know if you follow Wimbledon or what, but you watched that final yesterday. You watch, I was hoping Bouchard would win, but anyway, Kvitova was just like, she was just on fire. But I mean, you watch how these women, especially now the men are in a different league, but the women are just, they smash that ball as accurate as possible. Like, you can't believe it. How much practice must have gone into that excellence that you see on the tennis court? How much they've been practicing, how much they've hit that ball over and over again until they get it to the right spot. And it's just amazing. It's just such a skillful game. It's an awesome game. But you see, it's the same with us in the spirit. We need to practice until we start getting it right. And God is okay with us failing. God is okay. Peter failed in his life. That's why Jesus allowed him to fail, so that he can keep practicing and keep saying, Jesus, I need you. This is not me doing this. This is not me walking on the water. This is not me going to people that I wouldn't normally go to. This is you. Because Peter wouldn't have normally gone to the Gentiles. He was focused on the Jews. And God had called him to the Jews. That's why he raised up Paul to go to the Gentiles. But it's interesting that God uses Peter. And he says, get out of your comfort zone now. Get out of what you think is a paradigm for Jews and for Gentiles and whatever. You just get out of your paradigm that I can move. You get out of the way that I can move. But he could trust Peter with that. So I believe we must be open to the Holy Spirit, to have a culture of witnessing and to see the power of God. We must be open and be obedient. And guess what? That means a response. Obedience talks about a response. We can't just wait for God to move us. We must move. Just like Peter did, the Holy Spirit said, don't doubt. This is me, don't doubt. But then Peter had to go. But God sets us up appointments. And I believe there are many Corneliuses in the city. There are many devout people seeking God, but they haven't understood the full gospel. God is waiting for Peter to go and tell the Corneliuses the full gospel. But are we going to be the Peters, or are we going to let some other people do that, or what? And signs and wonders will follow, but God is going to set up, and that's the good news for us today. Unless we move, unless we respond, you know what? Then we're just dead in religion. But the good news is God is not going to let us go. God is going to move us from a place where we say, you orchestrate this, Holy Spirit. I cannot orchestrate divine appointments. That's what's called a divine appointment, and not a Tim appointment or an Alistair appointment or a David appointment. This is a divine God appointment. God is going to get the Corneliuses to be at the right place and the right time, but then he wants Peter to also say, I'll be at the right place at the right time because my program is going to be shaken here. I would rather just now pray and then eat and then have an afternoon sleep maybe. But God says, no, now's the time. I want to touch the Gentiles. I want to touch other people. And I got a new phone this week, and I was sitting in the Vodacom shop, and I was hungry because it was over lunchtime, and these people take so long, and I have to transfer the data from the one phone to the other. And I'm sitting with this guy, and there's soccer in the background there on the big screen, and I'm hungry, and I'm frustrated. And it's like I felt the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to speak to this guy. I just want you to start speaking to him. And I was just so focused on my own stuff, and you know, I just want to get home now and eat and, you know, get this data transferred that I can carry on with life. And then there's the soccer in the background, the highlights that you missed from the previous day, and so you watch that, and yeah, this guy is in front of you, and it's like the Holy Spirit, are you going to speak to him or not? And then you just want the stuff to happen. Let's go and get out of there. And that's what I did, and I just felt like I missed God again. Why? Because we're so focused on just the things of the world. We're so focused on our program, what we have next. What we're rushing off from one thing to the other to do, and the Holy Spirit can't work like that. The Holy Spirit operates when we say, God, we are seeking your face like Peter was, in a place of prayer. And that doesn't mean you've got to go to a prayer meeting. It doesn't mean you must now do quiet time now. You know, the hour that we put aside for God. Sometimes it might be that. But it must just be in your daily life. Say, God, whatever appointment comes across my path, I want to be ready, Lord, for you to use me. Not just to look at what I have to do now. So when you go to the bank or do a transaction or do something in the shops, then say, God, I'm not just doing the natural here. That's why I'm here. But that's just the reason for me to get into a life. That's just the reason for me to connect with a life. And so with your lecturer or with your classmates or with a group that you're studying with or that you're working with, there's an appointment to build relationship, but to say, God, give me words for these people. Because in the natural, I'm not going to do this. But I'm open for a vision, Lord. I'm open for you to give me a word for these people. But we must desire it. And that's the culture of witnessing God wants. And then lastly, just quickly, a culture, the final culture that God had for these people or that they embraced with this culture which we've just demonstrated earlier. It's the culture of sending and then also going. If you send someone, it doesn't help, you send them and they don't go. So it'll be good for these guys to leave on Wednesday. It doesn't help, we send them now and then, no, we'll go somewhere else. We'll just stay here. But I know they're all passionate to go. As they minister to the Lord, and this is where Paul and Barnabas were sent out for their first ministry missionary trip. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And so, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, from where they sailed to Cyprus. You see, there was a culture of sending. I believe this is so crucial. And I don't think we've all been sent to our workplaces. I don't think we've all been sent to the place where we can really say, "God, we're your ministers here. We're your missionaries. We're your apostles here." But I know Paul was sent, and that's why Paul could have a successful ministry, because there was accountability. There was a sending out from a place where they believed in them, because God had said so. It said the Holy Spirit said to them, "Separate to me these two guys, because I have called them." And that's why it's so biblical to lay hands on people, to send them. It's a culture that we need to cultivate in our church, and not just do it at church, but send each other out every day. Send your children out every day. And I don't always do it, I know that, because we're rushing them off to school and just go to school and then come back again. But no, you've been sent to school for a purpose. Every day you send. See, I heard this quote once that goes like this: the Holy Spirit is the missionary spirit sent by the missionary Father and the missionary Son, breathing life into God's missionary church. The Holy Spirit is the missionary spirit sent by the missionary Father and the missionary Son, breathing life into God's missionary church. I just love when we have the stories, when we receive our teams back again, of all the testimonies, of all the stuff that happened from the word go. Not just when they're in Malawi or in another country, but I know signs and wonders will follow them in Standerton, will follow them on their journey to Standerton and then to wherever they're going to go. I'm excited that they're going to connect with another body where they can impart life, because they've been sent. And it was so encouraging for me to speak to Jaco and Erica Fincham. Some of you know them. We were sent to Potchefstroom. And to hear the testimony of their faith and how God has used them there. But I laid hands on them before there was a show for church there. Before the Potchefstroom thing started, I just said, "You guys, I believe you. We're sending you. We're not just releasing you or, you know, goodbye now. Let's bless you. We're sending you with a purpose. You're going to be involved in this church plant." And just the testimonies that come back from how they're excited for what God is doing in their lives. How they're excited for the move of the Spirit. A culture of sending and a culture of going. John 20 says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Imagine being sent by Jesus. When you spend this time with Him and you are sent by Him, He believes in you. Why is it only true for the apostles? Why does it have to only be true for the disciples? Why do we only have to read about it? What is the purpose of this? Jesus wants to do the same with us. He wants to encourage us by their testimonies, but He wants to say, you know what? The book of Acts is not finished. Anyone read the book of Acts? It doesn't end very like happily ever after kind of story. Because there ain't a happily ever after yet. This is not a happily ever after life we're living now. Amen. This is a sad life. There's so much brokenness. There's so much work still to be done for the kingdom. And unless we realize Jesus wants to send each one of us, then this life is going to be tough. But when we say, "God, we're not part of this world. We're just in this world. But we've come to bring blessing to this world." Like Tim said, we've come to give of our lives, our finances, our everything for your kingdom. We've come to seek first your kingdom because you believe in us, Jesus. Sending means simply to set apart and to commission for the purposes of God. And there's a setting apart that must happen. Paul was, before he was sent, he was actually called when on the Damascus Road. And you know, it's interesting how Luke writes about Paul's experience, because Luke didn't focus on his salvation. He focused more on his calling. And you know, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should focus more on our calling than on our salvation. And yes, the Holy Spirit helps us to be sanctified and to walk the path of life. But you know what? Sometimes we get so focused on our own salvation and sanctification and how cool am I and how holy am I and how great am I. And we forget about the reason the Holy Spirit came. He came to commission us. He came to send us. He came to do what he did with Paul, where I'm going to knock you off your horse, but it's not about you falling off your horse. It's about you being called to the Gentiles, you being a witness to the ends of the earth. And when the Holy Spirit fell upon him, scales fell off his eyes and he could see the fullness of God, and he just ran with the gospel. But he couldn't immediately. He wasn't sent out immediately. He first had to come to that place of accountability and growth in the Spirit. And so there is a place of coming to Jesus, but we can't come forever. Many of us have been coming to Jesus all our lives, but it's time now to go. It's time to be an apostolic church. It's time to be an apostolic person. And as I say, we can't rely on the church. We've got to say, Jesus, I'm, you know, not in church 24/7. I'm at my workplace most of the time. So church is there to inspire me. Small group is there to encourage me. But I'm on a mission every day. This is just the halftime team meeting. Did you realize that? Church is just like the gathering where we say, okay, well, how are we going to do this? Let's pray about it. Let's get our strategies right. Let's fill up the tank of it again. But then we go again. And that's going to bless you. You're going to live a more fulfilled life when you go than when you keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. It's like that gather, gather, gather. We're always gathering, but God wants to send us out. And see, like I said, when God sends you, and when you're sent by God, it becomes a lifestyle. And then you embrace this culture. Luke 24, the last scripture. Behold, I send the promise of my Father. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Same scripture that started with Acts. You shall be filled with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it wasn't only words, it was deeds. It actually happened. And so I believe we need boldness from the Spirit, not only in words and prophecy and in speech and in proclaiming, but we need boldness in action, where we go and we be obedient, and it feels like we're dying 1,000 deaths. I'll never forget when I went with CS and the guys first on campus in Stellenbosch, where we did soul winning two by two out, you know, to speak to people over lunchtime, and now you feel like you're going to die now. What am I going to say? Now I'm like young in the Lord and just been filled with the Spirit, and I'm excited, but you know, it's intimidating to go and speak to people. But you know, when you go two by two like that, then one prays and the other speaks, and you don't know what to say, but you just connect with people and just say hello, and the people think you're weird now. Who are you coming up to? And some people reject you, and okay, I've heard this before, so I don't want this. Everyone's come up to me every lunchtime, so then you just move on. But then you go to the people who are open, and you can pray with them, and they're open, and God gives you a word, and it confirms what they've been feeling, and they either give their lives to the Lord or they respond because they're already Christians, but they're lukewarm. And you can encourage them and say, this is what we've been called to do, is to tell people about Jesus. And the Christians are the most challenged. But then you start to get bold like that, and then you start to have it as a lifestyle. And you're sort of nervous about the Tuesday and the Thursday because you know God has called you to be part of soul winning. And there's not many people, because some people just mess it up a bit. I once heard a story of a guy saying, like, as red as this, you know, the bricks on the Roy plane there in Stellenbosch, those of us who know the Roy, he says, so Roy is hierdie baksteen, so gaan jy hel toe as jy nie Jesus aanvaar nie, or something like that. Or not, I don't think he said about the hell, but he said, you know, like, there's truth, and it's black and white. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, the people are going to be less open now, so we're going to be rejected. But then you realize some people are a bit young in this game, okay? But it's okay. We learn. We grow as we learn, and we learn as we grow. So you make mistakes. Now, that shouldn't ever happen, and there should be training on that, because that's going to offend people like right out of the town, probably. But the fact is that we must have that obedience at least. And God is pleased with that rather than we just do nothing because we're scared of what people are going to say. But you see, it becomes a lifestyle when you say, God, I want to be your apostle. I want to be your messenger. I want to be your commissioned one. And then it doesn't become difficult. It becomes a lifestyle. And yes, you have to still choose. Because every time God does not force his power upon you, but you have to choose to say, am I going to do this and speak to this person and follow the Spirit, or am I going to just be comfortable? And the truth is, it is a comfort zone thing. It is stepping out. It is going to be a choice that you say, This is not in the flesh anymore. And when you do that, then God's power comes to manifest. Then God starts to give you words which you didn't know came from where. Like, I didn't think about this before, but it's not about you thinking about it. It's about you being open to God, to the Holy Spirit. So I want the band to come forward again. And I'm finished with this culture thing now. I know I've been harping on it for 3 weeks now. But you know what? The Lord just said to me, keep going until the people get it. And I can tell I'm going to come back to this. When the students are back, we're going to talk more about this culture thing. Because as each of us embraces this culture, then it's going to be, God is going to move in an awesome way. He's not going to move one by one, little by little. He's going to move, He's going to send people to us. But I believe that God cannot send people to us if we're not going, if we're not faithful in a little bit, if we're not faithful in being stewards of saying, God, I'm just going to go to my neighbor. I'm just going to go to the person who I've already got relationship with. I don't have to go out there, Lord, and find people. There's a lot of people that you're already connected with. Just go to them and start being a blessing to them. But then say, God, wherever I go, if I meet a strange person, I want to be the gospel bringer there. I want to bring good news. I want to encourage someone. And then I believe God is going to send people, because He wants to send people as well. The church's mission is not only to go, it's also to be a light, to be a beacon. Amen. It's not only about going. God will send people as well, but I believe it's a two-way thing. It's all about relationship. Are we also going to go to the people that God places in our hearts and in our influence spheres? Are we going to at least go to them in prayer and say, God, I bring this person before you. I pray for this city. I don't just pray for my stuff. But this morning, I believe the Spirit wants to send people. I believe the Spirit wants to empower people again to be witnesses. If you want to. So I want us all to stand this morning. We're almost done. Lord, I thank you this morning that you're asking us a question this morning, God. Are we going to embrace being an apostolic church and having an apostolic culture, Lord? Having a culture of prayer and of community and of witness, Lord, and of commissioning, of sending and going. And I thank you, Lord, this morning that we can truly as a church say yes, Lord. Even before the term starts, Lord, as this year, the second half of this year begins, Lord, we thank you that we can say yes, Lord, to what you have for us, this, especially these next 6 months, God. I thank you that we don't have to focus, God, on next year. We don't have to focus on 5 years from now, Lord. We want to focus on tomorrow and even today, Lord. But thank you for the vision, Lord, for each of our lives. Thank you that we can not run around wanting to change from one thing to the next, but thank you for where you've placed each one of us. And I just sense for someone here, you need to know that where God has placed you right now, that's where He wants you. For the next 6 months, He wants you there. And He will show you at the end of the year where you need to go. But God says, stop running around. Stop trying to wonder, is this the place? Be faithful in that place where God has placed you. Be faithful in that course that you're doing. Even though it's tough and you want to give up and there's something so lucrative and something else that looks so great, God says, be faithful in that thing. Because it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. You being an apostle there where you are. You being the messenger there where you are. You being a sent one. The Lord wants to send you out this morning. So I want to thank you, Father, that where you've called us to be, we can be faithful in that. I pray right now, Lord, for hearts here this morning. Hearts that have grown lukewarm, Lord. Hearts that have grown cold towards you, towards your gospel, God. Hearts that have allowed the cares of this world to steal the seeds away that you've planted and sown. And I thank you for a first love encounter with you again. I thank you for the fire of God. I just sense the Lord wants people this morning. If the Lord is speaking to you about being a witness and you just know that you're not there and you want to be there, you've got a desire. It's not about being condemned this morning. It's just being, God, I want to be a witness for you. I want to be sent out by you this morning. Then I want you to come forward, because the Lord showed me people need to literally get out of your seats. Your seat is going to burn. It's going to be uncomfortable if you stay there. You must get out from your seat, step away and say, God, I'm stepping out of the comfort zone. Because unless they say, a guy that spoke at the conference last year, he said the pain, I think it was Rick Russo, unless the pain of change is, unless the pain that you're currently in is greater than the pain of change, only then will you change. But if the pain of change isn't so great, then you're going to stay. I mean, unless the pain of change is too great, you're going to stay. But I believe God wants to frustrate us to a place where we actually say, God, this change, it's actually nothing compared to the frustration I'm experiencing now. And it's not like He's negative towards you, but God really wants you to have a life. Wants you to be a witness. That is what life is about.